Hi, welcome to the new episode of the Secret Guide to Fundraising podcast. I'm Ella, GiverG's Director of Client Services, and as a team of fundraising experts, GiverG helps clients raise as much as possible online and at event. As you may know, on this podcast, we dive into tips, tricks, and trends that will help your nonprofit raise more. Today's topic under the microscope is the potential of influencer partnerships to really boost the profiles of fundraising campaigns of nonprofits of all sizes. We see influencers everywhere on social media, but are nonprofits utilising the talents of influencers for social good? With me to talk about this is CEO and founder of Social Current, Ashwath Narayanan. Ashwath founded Social Current in 2001 to help nonprofits, impact organisations, and issue-focused organisations collaborate with creators to reach audiences more effectively. Since Social Current's creation, Ashwath has gone from strength to strength and in 2001 was named in the DC Inno's 25 under 25 list, a list that showcases young innovators standing up to challenges society faces. The crossroad is being built between fundraising and influencing are in their infancy, but Ashwath is at the forefront. So Ashwath, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing today?
Thank you so much for having me. And I'm excited to talk all things creators and influencers today.
Great. And where are you broadcasting in from?
I am currently in Washington, D.C. at a co-working space.
Nice. I'm in also a co-working space, but in London. So across the pond. So nice to connect. Well, great. So in today's episode, it's all about influencing and the intersection between them and the nonprofit organizations. Thankfully for us, you are the founder and CEO of Social Current and at the forefront of this space. So I've given a very brief overview of what Social Current does, but could you just explain to our listeners exactly what Social Current does and what you're aiming to achieve?
100%. And I can start by level setting a few trends we're seeing in content and consumption and media. Over the last few years, I think the first thing any listeners should understand is there's a growing distrust in institutions amongst people. And so people trust government, institutions, brands a lot less than even 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. And so with that rise in distrust has also been a rise in trust for people and people in your communities. And so all we do is sort of leverage that trend to allow nonprofit organizations, impact organizations to reach people in a way that resonates with them through a way that people trust. And so we help nonprofits, impact orgs, purpose-driven organizations match with influencers on TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram to reach audiences more effectively through content because we're seeing more people trust influencers and people over institutions. But yeah, we're building a platform. It's a marketplace where you can sign up, you can create your campaign, and we'll match you with creators that have the same mission, vision, values. And then you can do a content awareness campaign. You can do a petition acquisition campaign, fundraising. Our focus has been on the sort of awareness space, and you can build relationships with creators that care about the same things as you.
Amazing. And, I see, and we all see all over our Instagram all the time, many influencers sort of partnered with brands. People doing joint content, but it is rare that we see the same sort of relationship between influencers and nonprofit. Do you see that changing? What is the trend you're seeing in that regard at the moment?
I think sort of I can take a step back and talk through why we founded Social Current a little bit and then, connect it to, what we're seeing in the general nonprofit space. So in 2021, I founded Social Current with the goal of helping nonprofits, impactors reach young people more effectively through tactics that prioritized reaching young people where they are. A lot of nonprofits, impact organizations are still trying to figure out TikTok and Reels and all these new techniques. And so I started Social Current with the goal of helping them do that. We then did our first influencer campaign for a DC-based nonprofit. We helped them work with 15 creators to send over 10,000 people to a website with resources. And we really saw the power of influencers. And we started doing a lot more research into why other organizations weren't leveraging this. Naturally, the nonprofit space tends to follow trends in the brand space. And over the last 10 years, influencer marketing has only come up in the brand space. It's now a $30 billion industry, but the nonprofit space is still starting to figure out how to do this work. And so we started exploring why more nonprofits weren't doing this work. And there were a few reasons. One of them was a lack of sort of education around the fact that they could do it on the nonprofit side. And it also on the creator side, like a lot of creators didn't have an expectation that they could do a paid sponsorship with a nonprofit instead of another, you know, for-profit organization. And so we started educating both sides. And we also saw a gap in the market around like the lack of infrastructure to do this. Like it's really hard to like find an influencer, ask them what they care about, sign a contract, make a payment, send them a 1099. All of these different steps, legal steps, were also hard. And so we decided to build that infrastructure. So it was really like nonprofit space is still trying to figure out what the brand space has been doing, because the brand space has been figuring it out for the last 10 years. And so it's we're seeing it rise in the nonprofit space, but it's also like a lack of education on both sides between the nonprofit and the creators that they could work with each other.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. And I think you're absolutely right. For a lot of charities, and we'll go on to this shortly, it's where do we start? How do we contact these people? So it gives them the platform to do that. So it sounds great. And do you believe the relationships between influencers and nonprofit can be as prevalent as those between influencers and brands in the future?
I think we're starting to see that. I think we're starting to see more and more nonprofits invest in building relationships with influencers. I think we don't have any questions around whether nonprofits can work with sort of celebrities, because we have celebrities on nonprofit boards. We have celebrities that found nonprofits. And so I think like since we know that works, we can also see how that might translate into nonprofits working with influencers on their board instead of celebrities, or influencers doing sponsored content for them, or influencers being ads that they're running. And so I think we're slowly starting to see more nonprofits want to engage with creators and influencers than ever before. But I think we'll definitely be seeing that in the next couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we talk about these new spaces and innovative ideas, you know, we wonder whether fundraisers working at a smaller nonprofit organizations, you know, they're only just starting out on their digital journey and can perhaps feel a little bit underprepared to implement these new ideas. You've been CEO of Social Current for 3 years now. Do you have any examples of nonprofits who you've worked with from the beginning, really embraced things, maybe felt a little bit nervous at the start, but have you got any sort of real life examples of those who had committed to the new idea and have seen success from that?
For sure. One of the nonprofit collaborations we did was with a nonprofit that does drowning prevention awareness. And so they create awareness around the importance of putting kids in swimming classes, because one of the largest reasons for deaths among kids under the age of 4 in the US is drowning. And so they were trying to figure out how they could, you know, reach as many people as possible through social and through media when in May around Drowning Prevention Month. And so they did a small campaign with creators. They worked with about 6 creators and they reached over 1 million people on TikTok around drowning prevention and reminded these people to take swimming classes. And so through that example, you can see it was a small nonprofit. There were 3 people, but they were able to reach 1 million people in partnership with creators, because these creators had large audiences that they were able to leverage and spread awareness about this important issue. And so from a messaging and awareness perspective, if you got a small team, if social is in your strength, you can invest in these creators who are good at social and work with them to reach a larger audience. Influencer marketing can be a little inaccessible because creators charge, but you don't have to work with 100 creators. You could also work with one who's in your community, build a really strong relationship with them and reach their audience, because a lot of times that audience might be greater than yours. And so when I'm talking to especially smaller nonprofits, I'm stressing that you don't have to run a huge influencer program. You don't have to work with 1,000 creators, or you don't have to work with someone with 1 million followers. If you have someone in your community that you have a strong relationship with that even has 10,000 followers, that's a lot of people. And a lot of times that's more people than you may have access to. And so build a relationship with them, explore what it would look like to have them come to an event, for them to do some sponsored content for you, for them to help you with your social strategy. And so think through like ways you can engage influencers you know, and start there before sort of building a large program.
Absolutely. That's a really good point. And, you know, connecting with the more local people to you, I guess they're more likely to want to sort of do it for you, and you're able to sort of engage with them quicker. What the messaging piece you spoke about there, how do you work out what that messaging is? You know, how do you work out what you want them to put out there that aligns with you and also their values?
Yeah, so we look at it as a train-the-trainer model. And so essentially, the nonprofit is a lot of times training us. We're training the creator, they're training their audience. Or in a lot of cases, nonprofit is using our platform to train the creators. The creator is training their audience. And so we ask the nonprofits to come to the table with what the facts are, what the goals are. Because at the end of the day, the nonprofit is the expert on what they want to do, what the policies might be, what the facts are. But then sort of have a bunch of questions around it. And so presenting the creator, hey, here's what I want to say. What do you think of this? How does this resonate with what you feel in your everyday community? If you're working with a creator from your community, they might be impacted by the issue. Can they share their story around that? And so it's sort of like understanding that the nonprofit is the expert at the policy and the issue, but the nonprofit should also understand that the creator is the expert at the distribution and their story. And so each has this separate lens and together it works, but it's important for each side to trust the others. And creators, more likely than not, are able to collaborate with the nonprofit. And if nonprofits trust the creators to create content, that usually works. And obviously, the nonprofit can see the creator's content before it goes live and all of that. But it's important to not control too much of what the content is going to be to avoid it not performing well.
Yeah, of course. And I'm sure it's always difficult. You know, you might reach out to a few people and those relationships not work to start with. So it's not being afraid of that being the case and sort of just starting somewhere, do you think?
100%. I think like a big thing for us and why we're building this platform is we've gotten really good over the last 2 years at matching the right nonprofit and the right creator. But that doesn't happen from day one. A lot of times it is a trial and error process. You have to work with a number of different creators to find the right creator. On the creator side too, like you have to work with a number of nonprofits to find who the right nonprofit is, to have the video take off and reach hundreds of thousands of people. And so part of it is like being open to working with multiple creators if you have the budget and you're able to, and then sort of figuring out who the right creator is and then integrating them into your board or your, you know, social media team or your press briefings. And so like it's how do you find the right one? And you can't find the right one from day one. It takes some time in relationship building.
Yeah, absolutely. And those charities that don't have a strong presence on social media already, do you think it's important to start that before you reach out to influencers, or do they sort of go hand in hand?
I think they do go hand in hand. I think the way I would think about it is when you're reaching out to creators, you want to make sure that a creator trusts you, because otherwise they're not going to respond. Like, it's important to keep in mind that like with most creators, if they're, you know, creators that have good presences, they're being reached out to from tens and hundreds of brands all the time. And so you want to figure out like, how can you stand out in their inbox? How can you make sure that they see you and they don't think you're a spam opportunity? And so having at least some base level social presence is important. It can also be just like you have three posts, but those three posts are nice and they talk about who you are. That way, if an influencer were to search you on social, they would find you. If they look for your website, they would find you. Because a lot of times there's a lot of people that are trying to scam influencers to do free stuff. Or, you know, there's a lot of bad players in the space. And so it's important to separate yourself from them. And so having at least a base level of social is important to build trust with the influencer. The second sort of thing is like influencers are a really good amplifying tactic to other things you're doing. So if you have a social presence, if you have an ad campaign, if you have an event, if you're doing fundraising, creators are good to work with to amplify all these other things. But creators is a tactic alone. Like if you're just working with creators, they're better for narrative change or messaging or awareness. And because if you don't have anything else going on, what is the audience going to do? Where are they going? How are they engaging? And so like, it's important to figure out what your like core tactics are and then work with influencers to amplify those core tactics instead of like thinking about influencers as a fully separate tactic that you're only going to do and it's going to solve all your issues.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that makes total sense. And we spoke about the platforms. I think you said TikTok, Instagram, and maybe one more. You know, there's a little bit of nervousness, I think, towards some of these platforms. You know, Twitter recently changing to X and feeling a little bit more like they don't understand the platforms very well and a little bit skeptical. Do you think they should be skeptical of platforms like this? Or what's your opinion on them using social platforms?
Yeah. So I think one of the things when you think about social platforms is they're volatile and there's always new social platforms all the time. There's always new features. And so the way we think about influencers is sort of like a strategy to, you know, make sure you hedge against the social platforms. What you're doing when you work with a creator is you're investing in a creator. You're not just investing in their social platforms, but you're also investing in their ability to stay up to date with every single new social platform. Because if they build 10,000 followers on a platform, they're more likely to be able to do that again on a new platform. And so instead of investing in like, hey, I'm investing in your 10,000 Twitter followers, hey, I'm investing in you and every single platform you have right now or in the future. And so I think investing in creators in a way gets you around the volatility of social platforms, just because then you're investing in this person who can then be adaptive to all the different things. They might also have a newsletter. They might also own their audience and community. But social platforms can be very volatile. And especially if your strategy is heavily ads driven, you might be relevant. You know, you might be too reliant on that platform, versus if you have a little bit of creators, you can also shift to another platform as soon as you need to. And so I think it's important to consider this when thinking through your social strategy so that you avoid things happening with platforms like X.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a really good point. Again, it's going back to that point, I think, what you mentioned earlier, of them being the expertise in this part. You're the expertise in what you're doing and, you know, the cause, but they're the expertise in getting the message out there. So it's trusting them and sort of following their lead in where they think they should put the content. So yeah, that makes absolute sense. And here at Gibberjee, we're fundraising based. So we're all about raising funds. And obviously it goes sort of hand in hand again. But am I right in saying sort of social current is more towards the awareness of the cause rather than sort of the raising funds?
Yeah, right now we're sort of positioning ourselves and influencers the top of the funnel strategy on like reaching a large audience, messaging, testing, awareness, narrative change around issues. But I think like there's ways you could use our platform to amplify other tactics around fundraising. For example, you could get, you know, content from creators to run ads on, because we've seen historic cases of like creator content having higher conversion rates than produced ads. And so like there's ways to integrate what we do into everything else to amplify other tactics. But right now we're heavily positioned on sort of the awareness side. I think we're soon starting to think about what it looks like to fundraise through platforms like Twitch, for example, or through creators that have really strong audiences and are able to get a lot of petition signatures and things. Like they could also fundraise easily. But right now we're positioned sort of in the messaging and awareness lane.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I think it's just looking to the future, isn't it? Starting there. And when I was sort of prepping for this, I was just thinking about how can we make more of that through our platform and get it easily shareable and all of that stuff. So my sort of brain's ticking over, but I absolutely think that, you know, the partnership between nonprofits and content creators can be monetized in some way for the cause.
100%.
Yeah. Is there anything else, any other cool examples that you've seen charities use content creators? I think it's always nice for our listeners to, you know, hear firsthand examples and ways they can maybe take that on their side.
Yeah, I would say like we have so many examples. Our clients have worked with over 2,000 creators so far around various campaigns. One of my favorite ones is always around how like our model for working with creators is always figure out who the organization is trying to reach and what communities they're trying to engage with, find an influencer from that community, get that influencer to share their story around the community, around the issue, and then reach people. And so like we do a lot of exploration around like who these organizations are trying to reach, what stories these creators have around these organizations. And we learn a lot of things about these creators that like is never there on their social profiles. Like one of the voter registration campaigns we did with a creator, he talked about how his grandma growing up counted votes, and that's why voting was important to him. And that story was never on his profile. And I think nonprofits have the unique ability to work with creators to pull out these stories and build something in partnership with them that the nonprofit is not only proud of, but also the creator feels proud of sharing and has never been empowered to share before. So I think like it's really cool to be able to like have the opportunity to be at the center of like these two different sides that are never usually communicating, but are now communicating to tell these awesome stories and change narrative and have a deep impact as well. So many examples, but that's just sort of the storytelling piece always comes to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And as a content creator, why wouldn't you want to help these causes, right? You know, they're working with brands. I guess for them, it's something different and something that, you know, the majority of people are going to want to support. So I absolutely think, you know, it's a company like Social Current or people reaching out to for them to do their job, but for good, is going to be a great partnership across the board.
100%. That is the goal.
Yeah, perfect. And before we do jump off, we're running out of time, but before we do jump off, is there anything else you would like to share with our listeners around Social Current, around things they should be doing, tips and tricks? I know you've shared a lot there and it's been great, but is there Anything else before we do go?
I think the last thing I would say is like, don't overthink your influencer strategy. You don't have to start by doing a ton of stuff. You don't have to start by having like a fully baked plan. I think the like place to start is like to figure out who the influencers are that are accessible to you, whether that's an influencer that follows you on social, whether that's an influencer that's a friend of a friend, whether that's an influencer who's, you know, connected to a board member. Like, figure out if you can get to one or two influencers and then start building relationships with them, because they have access to large audiences that could help your nonprofit. And the least that could happen is you spend an hour and they say no. But the best that could happen is you spend an hour, you build a strong relationship, and the next time they're thinking about your issue, they come to you and say, hey, I'm talking about this issue, can I help you in any way? And then you have a post with 20,000 views and more supporters. And so I think like, start thinking about like where you can start engaging with influencers and then do it. You don't have to overthink and have this long thought out strategy, especially as you start. Once you get to that level, you can have it, but just start with one and see how it goes.
Yeah, that sounds great. And I know it's going to be really, really insightful and helpful for a lot of our listeners. I'm very excited to share it. So thank you so much. It's been great to have you on. So if you want to learn more about how Ashvath can help your nonprofit, head over to socialcurrent.co. And as always, we would love to hear your thoughts on what we've discussed today. So feel free to email podcast@gibbity.com. And you can also make suggestions on future guests or topics you'd love to hear on the show.